Here, obviously, it's a bit cold for some, and I've taken off my jacket, my red jacket, to put on the official robes for baptism with the red stole, and I thought it was appropriate to wear a blue clergy shirt today so we can have red, white and blue in honour of Her Majesty.
Well, good morning, everyone, and welcome to church this morning, this special morning. It's a day of Pentecost and also the celebration of the baptism of Albert, and welcome to all the family and friends here gathered today. My name is Mark. For those that don't know me, I'll be leading part of the service. Eric's doing the main baptism part. And so we begin. May the Lord be with you. You are worthy, our Lord and God, to receive honour and glory and power, for you created all things, and by your will they existed and were created. And again from Psalm 100, make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come into his presence with singing. Know that the Lord is God. It is he that made us, and we are his people, and the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him, bless his name, for the Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever, and his faithfulness to all generations. So, as I said just then, let's join together and sing our first hymn, Holy Spirit, Ever Dwelling.
And now for the part you've all come for, the baptism service. When our Lord Jesus Christ had risen from the dead, he commanded his disciples to preach the gospel to all nations and to baptize those who believe. They obeyed his command, and we read of the Apostle Peter preaching in these words, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is to you and to your children and to everyone whom the Lord our God calls to him." We read here the promise of God to give forgiveness and his Holy Spirit to all who turn to Christ. This promise also embraces the children of God's people. The risen Jesus is willing to give the blessing of eternal life to our children whom we bring to him in faith. Children must themselves express their faith in God when they are able to do so. They must turn away from sin and put their trust in Jesus Christ. You who already trust in Christ are asked to make the baptismal promises on behalf of your children. You must also undertake to teach and encourage them in that same faith. And so I will ask the parents and godparents to stand where they are to answer these questions. So parents and godparents, just standing up and following the answers on the screen. Are you yourself a follower of Jesus Christ, trusting the gracious promises of God? A loud voice would be good.
Amen.
Are you willing to sponsor this child, answering for him now and accepting responsibility for his Christian upbringing in the life of the church?
I am willing.
Excellent. So I'll ask you now to answer in the name of Albert. Do you turn away from your sins, the devil, and all evil?
I turn away from them all.
Do you turn to Christ?
Turn to Christ.
You can be seated now. Thank you. In this context, we think about our own turning to Christ and the need for our own forgiveness. And we are the people of God, and the scripture reminds us that we still sin. We need to confess our failures, knowing that Jesus has died for us and intercedes for us with the Father, who freely forgives us. The scripture verses that go with that are from Psalm 51. Have mercy on me, O God, according to your steadfast love, according to your abundant mercy, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin, for I know my transgressions and my sin is ever before me. And Psalm 51 says, create in me a clean heart, O God, and put a new and right spirit within me. And in light of that, we have this song, especially for the children, which you can remain seated for because it's not one of our official hymns, but it's a good one to remind us of what's happening at baptism. So let us now draw near to God with sincerity and confidence and pray together. Heavenly Father, you have loved us with an everlasting love, that we have gone our own way and broken your laws in our thoughts, words and deeds, and in what we have failed to do. We are sorry for our sins and turn away from them.
For the sake of your Son who died for us, forgive us, cleanse us, and change us. By your Holy Spirit, enable us to live for you and to bring you honour and glory in all we do. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Scripture says, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he who is faithful and just will forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let's pray together this prayer of thanksgiving, recognizing how grateful we are to God for what he's done for us and the forgiveness he's provided for us. Gracious God, our Heavenly Father, we humbly thank you for all your gifts so freely given, for life and health and safety, for work and rest and friendship, and for the wonder of creation. Above all, we praise you for our Saviour Jesus Christ, for his death and resurrection, for your life-giving Spirit, and the hope of sharing in your glory. Fill our hearts with all joy and peace in believing, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. We make this statement of our faith, and you might like to stand as we recite the words that have been recited for many, many years. The Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Universal Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. If the rest of the congregation could be seated and the parents and godparents remain standing, I will ask you this question. We've just said the Apostles' Creed is a statement of our Christian faith, so I ask you to answer now in the name of Albert, do you profess this faith? Will you follow Jesus faithfully and obey his commands throughout your life? Right, you might be seated at this point. We're having the Thanksgiving part of the service, which is where we just celebrate and give thanks to God that we can have children at all and be given the responsibility to bring them up. So let's read together from Psalm 127. Unless the Lord builds the house, its builders labour in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the watchmen stand guard in vain. Children are a heritage from the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. And now I'll pray this Thanksgiving prayer. God our Father, we thank you for the gift of life and for the wonder of creation. We also thank you for the privilege of parenthood and the birth of Albert. May he grow up in health and safety. May he develop a true sense of justice and righteousness. May he grow in wisdom and compassion. In your grace, may he come to know the fullness of your love through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. We have a prayer for the parent and later a prayer by the parent. God, our Heavenly Father, we thank you for the gift of families and the natural ties of love and affection that are part of your creation. We thank you for the gift of parenthood and the joys of bringing children into your world. Enable Emma to bring up Albert in the care and security of a loving home. Keep him safe from the evils of this world, that he might grow strong in his knowledge of you and of your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And now I'll ask Emma if she might be able to pray. Do you want to use this?
Okay. God, our Creator, I thank you for the gift of Albert, whom you have entrusted to my care. May I be patient and understanding, ready to guide and to forgive, so that through my love, Albert may come to know your love. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
And so a blessing for Albert Tom. May God bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May God look upon you with favour and grant you his peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. And now for the actual baptism part. So I would ask parents and godparents to come and stand on the steps here. I hope my eyesight's good enough to read that. Okay. Oh yeah, I can read up here. Lord, our merciful God, you have promised in Christ to be our God and the God and Father of our children. Fulfill your promise to us, and for Jesus Christ's sake, receive Albert as a member of your family. Grant that he may receive the fullness of your grace and the washing away of all his sins. For without these blessings, no one can enter your kingdom. May your Spirit live and work in him, that he may be yours forever, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Right, may I have the child? Don't get too caught up in the wires.
There we go.
There we go, look at that. That's not too bad. Look at that. Right, traditionally I ask you to name this child.
Albert Tom Wood.
Albert Tom, I baptise you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We receive you into the congregation of Christ's flock and sign you with the sign of the cross, to show that you are to be true to Christ crucified until your life's end. Amen. Have you never seen a beard? You've seen beards before. Well, that's nothing. All right. We praise the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ for new spiritual life. May God fulfill his promise and complete his saving work in you. May he bring you into all the joys of his eternal kingdom through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. You're just right for church. People usually tell me when I talk too long. Yeah. Here we go. Right, and we have a prayer for all who are baptized into Christ, so this is said by all of us. Gracious God, you have brought us from death to life. We dedicate ourselves to you. Produce in us the fruit of your Spirit. Equip us to serve your people and advance your gospel in the world. Enable us to live holy and righteous lives and to please you in all that we do, in the name of Jesus, our Saviour. Amen. And as a follow-on from that, we dedicate ourselves to God in the song, Take My Life and Let It Be. It's got a bit of a long introduction, but you may be seated, and we'll sing this song together.
Celia will now lead us in prayers for the world, the community, and the church.
I begin with the collect for Pentecost. Let us pray for the power of the Holy Spirit. Almighty God, who on the day of Pentecost sent your Holy Spirit to the disciples with the wind from heaven and with tongues of flame, filling them with joy and boldness to preach the gospel, send us out in the power of the same Spirit to witness to your truth and to draw all mankind to the fire of your love. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The origin of this Pentecost prayer is lost, but the passion of its voice still resonates today. Spirit of the living Christ, come upon us in the glory of your risen power. Spirit of the living Christ, come upon us in all the humility of your wondrous love. Spirit of the living Christ, come upon us that new life may course within our veins, new love bind us together in one family, a new vision of the kingdom of God spur us on to serve you with fearless passion. Lord, we thank you for all the people who nurtured the flame through persecution and power, through darkness and glorious light, spreading out to the farthest corners of this earth, waxing and waning until we gather here today, your people, the church. So much divides us when we forget that you are one, that we are one in you. Come, Holy Spirit, and ignite in all those who encourage and lead your people such a fire that your church burns with zeal and others are drawn to the light of your message. Particularly, we bring to your glorious flame the people of General Synod. We thank you that division has been avoided, and in your loving grace, They will continue to meet around your word. Listen and grow daily more like you. This we ask especially for our Archbishop Kanishka and our Bishop Christ. We welcome with joy the return of Eric from leave. Be with him as he changes gear, bearing both the joys and burdens of parish ministry. Enfold with love Christine and family, Mark and Sharon as they too minister to this congregation. We thank you for all who serve the people of the parish in worship, administration, education, fellowship, and all the little tasks with which we sustain and encourage one another. May the Holy Spirit burn bright in each and every one, sustaining, encouraging, and renewing. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Lord, we know that ultimately all authority resides in you, but we give you thanks that we live under the rule of law, that our laws are made by democratically elected bodies, and that our press is strong and free. Give to those with power to make change godly wisdom that seeks not their own preferment, but the welfare of those whom they have sworn to serve. Strengthen them when their vision dips too low, protect them from unwarranted attack, and refresh them when their courage fails. Lord, may they seek justice for those who suffer violence, exploitation, abuse, neglect, inadequate shelter, and poverty. Give us courage never to turn our eyes away, ears open to hear their stories, and tongues that will not fall silent until your kingdom reigns and our anger and greed and pride are vanquished. We pray for peace for Ukraine, for Ethiopia, for Congo, for South Sudan, for Myanmar. Lord, the list is longer than our comprehension, but in every place it is anguish for mothers, horror for children, destruction of economies and cultures. The scale is beyond our understanding. Breathe your wisdom in the hearts and minds of those who can effect change and bring us nearer to the day of your return. We pray for your creation. Rescue our wounded world from our careless neglect. May our children and our children's children experience the richness, diversity, and beauty of this planet, and with love and gratitude to you, pass it to their children, a better place than they found it. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. I wrote this prayer many years ago for the baptism of two of my grandsons, and it's my gift to you on this special day. Lord, we give you thanks for all that is best in families, for a place to learn to be ourselves and all that you would wish for us to be, for a place to learn to love and trust in safety as we learn to trust in your love, a place to test ourselves safe in the knowledge that you are our strength and our defender. But when we feel wounded and let down because our families are not all that we wish, comfort and strengthen us in our disappointments and our failures. When we fail in our family responsibilities, give us courage to face our shortcomings and the wisdom to seek a solution. When we feel too tired to shoulder the tasks our families impose, remind us to turn to you, knowing that in you we are refreshed and will find rest for our souls. Then, renewed, enlightened, and restored, may we go forth in your love. We thank you for the love and selfless dedication of parents through generations and across all the nations of this world. We thank you for the joy of children and the amazing unfolding of new lives. We pray for a world where they are loved and cherished and honored and kept safe as a gift from you. Father, as we face again today the mystery of baptism and welcome to your family, the church, this child, we pray that all here will be touched by the joy and love that comes from knowing you. Help us to take from this time together, a spirit of loving kinship as members of the family of God. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We bring before you this morning those who have asked for our prayers: Robin Allen, Fleur Fowler, Murray Holmes, Vernon Ireland, Graham Lowther, Margaret Roberts, and those we hold in our hearts. Hold them in your loving presence. Fill the dark places with light. Support all who are bearers of that light and bring them to peace. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And so, as our Lord taught the disciples to pray, we are confident to say, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory, now and forever. Amen.
We have a section of the service called The Spot, where anything can happen. It's normally a place for news and announcements. And so here's an announcement from Albert. Today in church, a guy in a dress tried to drown me. And I kid you not, my family stood there taking pictures, which I forgot to say you're allowed to do. We can set it up again at the end. Apart from that announcement, the other announcement is that Pentecost and baptisms are a real reminder to us of new beginnings. We talk about Pentecost being the birthday of the church, and baptism sort of the beginning of our relationship with God, so to speak. And so it's very appropriate that we can celebrate. We only celebrate birthdays that end in a zero here. So Judy has turned, I thought they said 18. Not your 18th, it's your 80th. Just in case you're wondering. Yeah, 80th birthday. So I've got a card here for her, and you can sign that during morning tea at the back there. That'll be great. Remember to do that. And I thought, why don't we just sing happy birthday to Judy? There are other people having birthdays. Beth's having a birthday tomorrow, but it doesn't end in zero, so we can't celebrate that. No, we like to make a big fuss about people who hit decades. So we're going to sing happy birthday to Judy with me.
Happy birthday to you, happy birthday to you, happy birthday dear Judy, happy birthday to you.
Hip hip!
Hooray!
Hip hip!
Hooray!
Hip hip!
Hooray!
And there'll be cake for everyone, apparently. So that'll be good. And there are other people having birthdays later on in the month, and we'll get to those later. But don't forget to sign the card.
I knew he'd want to do that announcement because there's cake to follow. Cake. It's now time for our next hymn, Holy Spirit, Living Breath of God. So we might all stand while the musos make their way to the... Please be seated. Humbly, Heavenly Father, thank you, Father, for making yourself known to us and for showing us the way of salvation through faith in your Son. We ask you now to teach and encourage us through your word so that we may be ready to serve you for the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Paul will now lead us in the reading.
This morning's reading is selected highlights from Acts chapter 2, which is on page 885 in the Pew Bible. And unsurprisingly, the story is the story of Pentecost. So Acts chapter 2, selected highlights. Beginning at verse 1. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place, and suddenly from heaven there came the sound like a rush of violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues, as of fire, appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit, and began to speak in other languages, as the Spirit gave them ability. Jumping down now to verse 12. All were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, What does this mean? But others sneered at them and said, They are filled with new wine. But Peter, standing with the 11, raised his voice and addressed them, "Men of Judea and all who live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and listen to what I say. Indeed, these are not drunk, as you suppose, for it's only 9 o'clock in the morning. No, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days it will be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even upon my slaves, both men and women, in those days I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy, and I will show portents in the heavens above, and signs on the earth below, blood, and fire, and smoky mist. The sun shall be turned to darkness, and the moon to blood, before the coming of the Lord's great and glorious day. Then everyone who calls on the Lord, name of the Lord, shall be saved. You that are Israelites, listen to what I say. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested to you by God with deeds of power, wonders and signs that God did through him amongst you, as you yourself know, this man, handed over to you according to the definite plan and foreknowledge of God, you crucified and killed by the hands of those outside the law. But God raised him up, having freed him from death, because it was impossible for him to be held in its power. We now jump forward, or fast forward, to verse 36. Therefore, let the entire house of Israel know with certainty that God has made him both Lord and Messiah, this Jesus whom you crucified. Now, when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the apostles, "Brothers, what should we do?" And Peter said to them, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, so that your sins may be forgiven, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you, for your children, and for all who are far away, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to him." And he testified with many other arguments, and exhorted them, saying, "Save yourselves from this corrupt generation." So those who were welcomed his message were baptized, and that day about 3,000 persons were added. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship and to the breaking of bread and of prayers. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Morning, everyone.
Morning.
I'm glad you remember me. It's been about 6 weeks. I've had 5 weeks of different preachers in the last 5 weeks. I think last time I was preaching was like the Easter and the Ascension. So I'll go back to those topics to remind myself how to preach. In our Easter services, we began by affirming the faith we profess in the Apostles' Creed, which we said today, that Jesus was crucified, died, and was buried, and that on the third day he rose again from the dead. And my Easter theme was, we believe that a buried body began to breathe, because I like alliteration. Next, we looked at the event that happened 40 days after Easter. Could you get me a glass of water, please? Where we affirmed our apostolic faith that our risen Lord also rose into heaven. And the theme that day was, we believe our animated advocate actually ascended. 10 days after the Ascension, or 50 days after Pentecost, after Passover, or what we call Easter, there was another major event which was being annually celebrated in the church, and we call this event Pentecost, when God's Spirit was given to God's people. And today we affirm our apostolic faith, which says we believe in the Holy Spirit. And to continue my love of alliteration, today's theme is, wait for it, we believe our promised paraclete provides God's peace and power. What difference does God's Holy Spirit make to our Christian lives? Well, before we try to answer that, let's ask God to guide and teach us. Let's pray. Almighty God and Father, open our eyes that we may see your truth, open our minds to understand it, open our hearts to receive it, and by the power of your Holy Spirit, help us to apply it to our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, today we were privileged to share in the joy of the baptism of little Albert, who is asleep ahead of time. Most people will at least give me 5 minutes before they drop off.
That's not a cue for the rest of you. Today we're privileged to share in the joy of the baptism of little Albert, and baptism is a reminder of the promise of God's forgiveness through the power of Christ's death and resurrection. Forgiveness brings us peace with God. Providentially, the message of Pentecost is also about God's peace and power. But why do we need peace with God? It's a good question, isn't it? Have you ever thought about that? Why do we need peace with God? Because according to the Bible, we are his enemies. This may come as a shock, but if we're not with God, then we're against him. Let me try to explain. It's fairly obvious to us that a pirate flying the Skull and Crossbones flag on his ship is not on friendly terms with the political authorities. Not only does his flag declare his rebellion, but his lifestyle displays utter disregard for most socially accepted norms and their associated laws. There would be no argument from us if the pirate was brought before a king and sentenced to prison for his crimes. Did you know that under international law, every merchant ship must be registered with a country known as its flag state? That country has jurisdiction over the vessel. So I want you to imagine a kind and gentle man with a large and happy family on an enormous container ship on which he refuses to display a flag. He always ignores territorial boundaries because he believes he poses no threat. No matter where he goes, he maintains that he is the master of his own vessel. He is not aggressively opposed to the authorities. He just chooses to be blindly ignorant of their rules and expectations. He's not a pirate, and yet he would be charged with a crime for his refusal to conform to the law. Heard my voice last. That's what happens when you give it 5 weeks off, it doesn't want to come back. God has jurisdiction over every person he has made. Technically, we should all be flying his flag and obeying his rules. Now, some people do live like pirates in outright rebellion against God, but others simply ignore him and live what they perceive to be wonderful lives without displaying any flag of allegiance. And do you remember the story of the younger brother in the parable of the prodigal son? He lowers the flag of his father's authority and hoists his own flag of independence. Having ignored his father's love, or having chosen to live without it, the son becomes dead to his father. And that's the same way God sees us when we wander away from him or reject him or outright rebel against him. We are dead to him. Because we are no longer with him, we are considered to be against him. We are his enemies. The Bible says we're all like that. We've all wandered away like lost sheep. We are all like ships that have taken down God's flag and hoisted up our own flag. But we cannot ignore God's authority forever. So what can we do if we want to come home like the prodigal son? If we want to come home to our father? If we want to return to the fold as lost sheep? Well, that's easier said than done. As enemies of God, we deserve God's judgment. As our just judge, God cannot allow our sin to go unpunished. But as our loving father, he greatly desires a reconciled relationship with us. Like the father in the parable, he was longing for his son, waiting for his son to come back, ran out to him, wanting to have that reconciled relationship. So God sends Jesus to take the judgment that we deserve. The Bible says that on the cross, God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself. God makes it possible for us to change from being his enemies into being his friends, and from being his friends into being his children. God offers us peace. Peace with God. And the promise of peace through the power of Christ is God's primary purpose. That's all he's on about. And God always keeps his promises. God promised to send a Messiah to rescue his people, and so he sent Jesus. God promised to provide forgiveness, and so Jesus died for our sins on the cross. God promised to empower his people, so he gave us his Spirit at Pentecost. God so much wants us to be with him that he comes to be with us through his Spirit as a kind of foretaste of heaven when we accept his forgiveness through Jesus. So let's take some time now to review the significance of this event that we call Pentecost. Let's have a little background. The book of Acts that we read from, the Acts of the Apostles it's called, not that other kind of Acts that we chop wood with. It's not the Acts of the Apostles, so they won't go around chopping people up. The book of the Acts of the Apostles is the sequel to Luke's Gospel, written by the same author. Both begin with a message to Theophilus, the intended recipient of both books. In his opening paragraph, Luke sets the scene for the story he will now go on to tell after the Gospel. So in Acts chapter 1, verses 1 to 5, he says, "In the first book, Theophilus," that was Luke's Gospel, "I wrote to you all that Jesus did and taught from the beginning." So he tells us all about the life and teaching of Jesus. "Until the day that he was taken up to heaven, the ascension of Jesus. After giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles whom he had chosen. And after his suffering," which is the crucifixion, "he presented himself alive to many by convincing proofs," the resurrection. "Appearing to them for 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of God. While staying with them, he ordered them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait there for the promise of the Father. This," he said, "is what you have heard from me. For John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now," referring to the day of Pentecost. So we could say that Luke's Gospel tells us what happened to Jesus, but his sequel, the book of Acts, tells us what happens to the followers of Jesus. The original followers of Jesus were Jews, and so they were greatly influenced by Jewish tradition and teaching. And so it might be helpful for us to review the cultural context of this day of Pentecost from the Jewish perspective to gain some greater understanding of the significance that it had in the life of the early church. So a little bit of the background and impact of these festivals that were happening at the time. There were three major Jewish pilgrimage festivals, meaning three times when everyone was encouraged to come to Jerusalem. And that was Passover, Pentecost, and the Festival of Tabernacles. Passover was the festival, during this festival, it was when Jesus died and rose again, what we call Easter. But Passover remembered and looked back to and celebrated the escape or the rescue from Egypt, which you read about in the book of Exodus. And it was there, at that Passover time, that a sacrificed lamb died in the place of the firstborn sons of the Hebrews, when God's judgment passed over Egypt in the 10th and final plague. And this enabled the rescue and redemption of God's people. And Christians have always seen this as a picture of what Jesus does for us. For the Bible says, "Christ, our Passover lamb, has been sacrificed for us." So it had incredible significance this time, this period of time, for those first Jewish Christians. We get to the time of Pentecost, which is 50 days after Passover, or what we call Easter. It was originally connected with the wheat harvest, but was also celebrated as the time of the giving of the Torah, which is the Jewish law, the law of Moses, the law from God, or the word of God. We're celebrating the wheat harvest and the giving of the word. And Jesus made a connection between the two when he said, "People shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God." Christians expanded the Jewish festival tradition to incorporate Jesus as the true bread from heaven and as the living word of God. And what was previously celebrated as the giving of God's law on tablets of stone was now celebrated as the giving of God's Spirit, who writes God's law on our hearts. Again, the connection between the festival and what the church came to believe. And the Festival of Tabernacles, also known as the Festival of Booths, was celebrated at the end of the harvest. And this was a reminder of God's presence with his people, especially during those 40 years of wandering after escaping from slavery in Egypt. And they joyfully celebrated God's deliverance, God's protection, his provision, his faithfulness. And Christians remember that Jesus is God's Son who tabernacled amongst us, and that now the Holy Spirit tabernacles within us. It is the Holy Spirit now who delivers, protects, provides, and assures us of God's faithfulness to his promise to forgive us and to provide an eternal and secure future for us. So on each of these festivals, these pilgrimage festivals to Jerusalem, the city of God was full of the people of God who were looking back with gratitude and looking forward in faith, trust, and hope. So on that first Pentecost after Easter, Jerusalem was full of Jewish pilgrims who were celebrating the way God provided for them and spoke to them. Christians now celebrate the way God, through his Holy Spirit, works in us to provide for others and speaks through us to bring God's word to the world. Remember what Jesus said would happen in Acts chapter 1 verse 8. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. They would receive power, but not just power to perform miracles, although that did happen. They received power to witness to the truth about who Jesus is and what he has done. They would tell the world that God's promise of forgiveness is fulfilled in Jesus. They would be given the power to proclaim God's promise of peace. Their lives would not be peaceful. They would experience great suffering and persecution. But through it all, through the assurance of the presence of God by the indwelling of his Holy Spirit, they would experience a peace that passes understanding. They would know the peace and the presence of Christ. So Pentecost is all about God's peace and power. Those first disciples of Jesus were empowered to proclaim the peace that God provides when people put their trust in Jesus as their Saviour and Lord. It's not COVID. On that first Pentecost, after a poor carpenter died on a wooden cross, thanks, I'll need a refill. Yes. On that first Pentecost, after a poor carpenter died on a wooden cross, thousands of people began putting their faith and trust in that same Jesus as God's Son and as their Saviour and Lord. 3,000 people on that one day did that. And they were baptised to symbolise how God had washed away their guilt and shame and to declare their allegiance and commitment to Jesus as their living Lord and King. So how wonderfully appropriate it is that we could share in Albert's baptism today. Sometimes we read the great stories of the Bible and we wish that we could have been there to experience those great occasions firsthand. What would it have been like to have walked in the garden with God, the Garden of Eden, to be on the ark with Noah, to cross the Red Sea on dry ground with Moses, or to climb Mount Sinai with him and receive the Ten Commandments, to sit on the throne with David or Solomon, to be in the lion's den with Daniel, to be with Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration, to hear Jesus teach or to see him perform miracles, to watch him die and to see him risen from the dead. How marvellous to be there and be part of that story. But what about Pentecost? The gift of God's Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost was not a once-off occasion. All followers of Jesus are promised that same gift of God's Holy Spirit. Remember what Peter said to the crowd that day, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, so that your sins may be forgiven, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is to you and your children, and for all who are far away." Remember, we've wandered away from God. "Everyone whom the Lord our God calls to him," calls back to him. So when we confess our sins, God doesn't just send in a cleaner to cleanse us. God sends in his Holy Spirit to change us,
and to empower us to live like Jesus. God doesn't just post us a message of encouragement. He provides the permanent presence of the encourager, or the helper, or that word, the paraclete, which means the Holy Spirit. God doesn't just present us with a mission. He provides us with the power to achieve the goal. The Holy Spirit will give us the words to say when we need to say them. That's really quite good, isn't it? It doesn't mention the voice, the throat. The Holy Spirit will give us the words to say when we need them. To illustrate this, how I'm always saying how great God is, His sovereignty and the way timing happens, I want to share with you an SMS I received in the last couple of days from Richard Davies, our friend and missionary with the Indigenous people in North Australia. He said, "A man and his wife, Kevin and Katrina, asked us to pray with them tonight. We talked for a while, and they ended up asking Jesus into their lives. Praise the Lord. Please pass this on to the church and pray that they keep going because others will try to pull them back. Richard and Sue." That's a great story in itself, but in the context of Pentecost, it is quite amazing. What happened at Pentecost so long ago continues to happen today. The Holy Spirit continues to empower God's people to proclaim the truth about Jesus. And those who hear the message are still repenting and still believing in Jesus. They are still receiving forgiveness and the gift of God's Holy Spirit. How else would it be possible for this Christian message to suffer so much persecution and yet spread so far throughout the world? It can only be by the grace of God and the power of God's Holy Spirit working in and through those people who repent and believe in the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Even today in Greenwich, we can still be part of this ongoing Bible story. Perhaps God's power has opened your eyes today to perceive your need of Jesus and the forgiveness that He provides. Perhaps today is the day you come back to the fold and rejoin God's family by raising God's flag instead of your own flag over the ship of your life. Perhaps today is the day that you find peace with God. And if you want to respond to God's call on your life in that way, then speak to us after the service. And if you are already a follower of Jesus, then rejoice in this day of Pentecost. We have been given the power to perceive and to proclaim God's peace. As Christians, we believe our promised paraclete provides God's peace and power. It's up to us to turn on the switch and let that power flow in us and through us. Let's pray that God might help us to do that. Heavenly Father, we thank You for your loving us and saving us and reconciling us to Yourself as Your family. We thank You for the reminder of Pentecost that Your Holy Spirit provides us the power to experience and to express the peace You provide through Jesus. May we not be ashamed to live under His flag, and may our lives bring You glory and honour in all we do and say as we seek to become more like Christ and to tell others about Him. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Eric. I'm glad your voice made it. It's out of practice, obviously. Yeah. It's now time for our final hymn, Filled with the Spirit. This is the hymn where we would, pre-COVID days, take up a collection, but for those that don't give electronically, we have a bag down the back on a stand if you'd like to donate for work in the church and the parish. So please stand and join with us in Filled with the Holy Spirit. Please take a seat. Eric will bring some notices. You got Julie first?
That's right, yeah. I knew there was something. Julie, who is well known to us, Julie Holmes, Murray and Sue is sitting back there, warmly invites you to join in her commissioning service on Sunday the 25th of June between 2 and 4 p.m. at the University of New South Wales in the Law Theatre GO4. That would be a great encouragement to her if you are able to come along and be part of that service. I'm not sure the live streaming is happening, Sue.
But if there is, we'll be able to get a hold of that as well. There is. So that's one of the big notices. The other notices, I haven't written them all down because I go to great trouble to put them on our webpage and save you time and effort at the end of long, boring sermons. I mean, at the end of the service. So if you wish to catch up on all the news, go to our website. It's a great thing to do anyway, just to see what's happening, what's coming up, what the sermon series is going to be like, do all that. So just to remind you then to sign this card for Judy at the end of the, well, during morning tea. And is there any other notices or things that I've forgotten, which is probably a long list, but I can't remember where I put it. Nothing? Excellent. Welcome. Thank you all for being here. I hope you had a great time. Stick around and have a cup of tea with us and be encouraged. And?
Parish Council meeting.
Oh, yeah, we'll have to eat cake quickly and I'll take our cake with us to the Parish Council meeting after this service, after we've had at least a cup of tea first.
Oh, yeah. And cake.
And cake.
Yes.
And then Parish Council will meet.
Of course.
Okay, nothing else? It's all yours.
Okay. Please join with me in this final prayer. Father, take us and use us to love and serve you and all people in the power of your Spirit and in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord. In the name of Christ. Amen. Please stay and join us for morning tea.